Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, and as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, do you know what today is?
Today is a Tuesday. Today is the day after the two-year anniversary that would-be President Trump got shot in the ear on the campaign trail.
You're not even close.
Today is
episode 250.
250? Oh, wow.
Why is your voice cracking?
I don't know. I lost track of episode. Man. Wow, look at there.
250, buddy.
America celebrates its 250th anniversary last week, and we get today to record 250 this week.
50,
how about that,
buddy? Yeah, good stuff. I also heard that's what it was actually like growing up with Mitch.
Yeah.
He was a cracker.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
I was walking around
you
talking
still do
like a
once
goose.
In a while. Yeah.
I sounded like a goose. Like,
yeah, for about 3 years.
Yeah,
you did.
Forever.
It took a long time.
Voice started cracking early, and it just never really quit.
I also hear that you don't want to be business partners with me anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe you should think about the posts you fucking make.
We're kind of anomalies in that, but for 99% of the world, that's fucking true. So
yeah, it's hard.
In our saving grace, so what David's referring to is I shared a Facebook post. Let me go find it.
Dude, it made me I laughed out loud, and I was like,
"It's a good post.
It's a very true. It's
usually it's, I copy and paste it instead of share it because whenever you share it, it doesn't get the reach that it should.
Yeah,
it says business tip of the day.
It
says business tip of the day: don't partner with broke people, don't partner with your best friend, and don't partner with somebody who with the same skill sets as you. And this is why I don't share posts like that. If I would have made that post on my own, it would have gotten 3,000 to 5,000 views. But sharing somebody else's post only got 1,200
views.
Yeah,
I gotta start I gotta get better at my stuff. You know, we talk about all the time social media and the reach you can have and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I've gotta get better. I've gotta take my own advice here and I've gotta get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The problem is I hate people.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
And
it's weird. We're going to have a little psychology 101 with Dave here.
Okay.
If I meet Tradewinds members for the first time, not even Tradewinds members, if we have an event and I meet someone and I talk to them for 30 seconds, I can read them. I know if they're good people. If I read they're good people, they could call me 6 months later and I'd be like, hey, man, what do you need?
Right.
I'd remember who they are. Like in that aspect, I am a 100% people person. When people post stuff online and I read it and it's complete bullshit and then I go through their comments and their comments are trash,
mm-hmm.
I can turn into a completely different person. I hate them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to be online. And it makes me not want to embrace people on social media.
Yeah.
It's a very... Is it me?
No, I think a lot of people wear sleeves on social media. They got their guard up. And... I also think a lot of people read posts and comments with the mindset and the voice of the reader, not the poster.
They're inferring inflection.
And so if I'm upset and frustrated, I'm going to read a post in an upset and frustrated tone, even though it might be a positive post.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
That's one of the big problems.
Yeah. And so I've had to train myself to read it like autonomously, no inflection. No emotion. Read what
like
do the words say?
Like an emotionally dead person.
Yeah, yeah. like one of those guys with the voice box where his larynx is bad, and so he's got the box up against his neck. I have to read it robotically like that.
I guess maybe that's part of my problem too. Is I don't. I try to read it neutrally, but I automatically just am like, nope. I've read their other comments and I know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just assume that I know.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll adopt the the Joe Rogan outlook. Like I'll post positive things and great things I'm doing and then just ghost. And not ever go back.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should do.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I will say, so like I've still got some videos that are running I don't know what even defines as a viral video, but like
no one does. It's fucking.
I get several thousand notifications from TikTok a day on these videos that popped off and did really well from our Lake Powell trip, and it's wild. So like there's a video of this guy landing his helicopter across the lagoon from where we parked our houseboat, and I'm adding some commentary to it saying like it's obvious that we moved the houseboat to the rich neighborhood because
yeah I know we talked know. About this a lot
yeah and so but there are people that they're going to social media with a negative mindset and then they're inferring their negative mindset into the video. And so, like, there's one person that's like, this person right here is what's wrong with America, and this is why Lake Powell is losing water.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, what the fuck does any of that have anything to do with anything?
I saw a thing on the Lake Powell the other day. I don't want to change subjects, but it was like, literally, okay, so you built 5 billion houses in a desert, and then the one reservoir that was built for 1 million is now emptying, and there's not as much snow melt. Because climate shifts, we've known that since before people were on Earth.
Yeah.
That rain isn't going to fall in a consistent pattern in a consistent area ever.
Yeah.
But somehow,
yeah,
it's we need your tax dollars to fix the climate problem. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, damn, man.
Yeah.
Get your heads out of your asses.
Yeah. You can't tax your way into changing the climate. No matter how much money you spend, you're not going to change the Earth's temperature.
No.
No matter how much money you spend, you're not going to increase or decrease the level of rain unless you're cloud seeding, which costs money.
I don't want to get into the whole thing here.
But
to your point about the video, though, like on videos, though, you can hear what they're saying and you can feel if they're being positive or negative.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like
dude,
reading
some of the
words
comments,
is one thing, but when it's a video, it's like, okay.
Well, even some of those comments, like I end that video with like, I hope Danielle doesn't make friends with this guy. Otherwise, I'm cooked.
Yeah, right? Maybe. I saw the other person in the pit photos.
Yeah. and so...
maybe.
So then, like, you'll see people on there, like, they can't get that it's a fucking joke. And they'll be like, if your wife leaves you for that guy just because he's got a helicopter, she didn't need to be your wife anyway. No fucking shit.
I just...
like...
I don't... Like, I can't... Speaking of me not understanding what's going on social media, like that's one of those things where is that person like making that up?
Right.
Or do they really believe that? Is half the population actually retarded?
Right.
Or are they just doing that to troll people on the internet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like you can't like what there's no educated guess there.
Well, and then the moment it goes to trolling, it's like, is this even a real person or is this a bot account that's built to just cause division?
Hey, social media 101. If you get in an argument with someone on the internet and it goes two comments each way, click on their profile. If they got less than 100 friends or 50 friends and they don't post, it's probably a bot. And if it's not a bot, it's a ghost account. And if it's not a ghost account, who gives a shit?
Well,
stop arguing. Like
the other thing is if they have over 20,000 posts, so that. In other words, there are people that, whether it's a bot account or somebody's actual troll account, there are people out there that'll have less than 1,000 friends. Like
I have less than 1,000 friends.
Do you think I post a lot on social media?
Yeah, I have to snooze you sometimes.
Okay, that's fine.
I love you.
Yeah, that's...
But we're business partners. We do the podcast. We're on calls together.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm trying to disconnect. I got to be like, I can't. I got to shut him down for a little bit.
All right. So,
and I love you.
Everybody thinks I post too much on social media, right? They're like, God damn, he posts a lot.
Oh, I don't think you post too much.
Not too much, but a lot.
But you do post a lot.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
I have 5,800 posts.
That's a lot of posts.
So when you're arguing with somebody on the internet,
that's a lot.
And people who know me, if you listen to this show, you probably know me. You probably say, yeah, Mitch posts a lot. Okay. I post a lot, and I have 5,800 posts. Just imagine... The level of derangement that you're working with whenever you see somebody with 20, 30,000, 40,000 posts.
Yeah. I've noticed, too, that I think people will... You and I haven't talked about this, but someone shared something on one of your TradeWinds videos, one of the first ones,
mm-hmm.
and it was something that I had posted in someone else's stuff.
Yeah, I saw that stuff.
So the person that shared that, I went to find him, no photos, no name, no nothing.
They're just trying to dox you is what they're doing.
What I think people are doing, too, is they're just scraping the internet using bots to push a certain agenda one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they will just take that stuff and they'll throw it at whatever.
Yeah.
And hope that stuff sticks, right?
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot lately.
Yeah.
I can't. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if they make money off of that or if it's to push certain agendas one way or the other, or if it's just to be divisive on the internet to then gain traction and make money. I haven't figured it out yet.
I have no doubt in my mind that it is a bipartisan agreement from the government to have social media bots out there to keep people fighting.
That's the way I lean.
A population that's fighting against each other can't unite against the government. Yeah. I think that's one of the only areas where the government stays very bipartisan is let's keep them arguing with each other.
Yeah, right? I think
as
you're
if
right.
it's a team.
Yeah.
Right. So Bernie Sanders shared something the other day talking about how Trump made this decision and it took food out of the mouths of millions of children and families in America. And I simply commented on it, and I said, notice how he said families in America and not American families. Okay? And here come all, I mean, there's thousands of replies to my comment.
Yeah.
And it's all these, like, some people are like, you know, good catch or whatever else. Other people are like, what's the difference? Are you serious?
If I go to Italy,
am I an Italian?
I'm telling you, people are just dumb, dude. They can't read.
So then you get these, and I've learned, it took me a while to recognize these.
I just had a ping.
Write it down.
I'll remember it.
I've learned to recognize, there are some accounts that are very, very good at eliciting a response or a reaction from you. And so I've grown to click on their profile long before I respond to their account.
Oh, I respond and then check.
And so, like, there'll be some that are like, they'll tag me and they'll say, yeah, let's just keep you away from elementary schools.
What the fuck does that even mean, bro?
Right? So, but again, they're trying to get that kind of a response. And they're trying to allude that I'm some sexual predator because I recognize that we shouldn't be feeding the fucking world. Right?
Yeah.
If we're taxing our citizens enough to give most of our money overseas, we're probably taxing our citizens too much, right?
I know.
So,
I know.
But then you get other comments be like, why does it matter a kid's nationality if hungry kids need fed? Oh, really? How many are you feeding? Like,
I know.
Right?
Everyone wants to, they have this misnomer that the government just fucking prints money, and so we should just feed everyone.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that the people that are giving the government money are us.
Yeah.
It's us. It's regular people. Like,
yep.
So you're telling me you'd rather just give the government more money so that kids get fed?
Yeah.
And that they don't take your money to buy Peloton bikes for houses, the House of Congress? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Social media can be the Wild West. Now, you get into some groups, especially some well-ran groups. You get into some groups and some well-ran groups, and you can get some really good content out of social media. But if you're out there scrolling reels, make sure you're checking those accounts that are posting the reels. A lot of them are duplicated, downloaded and duplicated and reshared from fake accounts. A lot of them are Russian bot farms, believe it or not.
I'm just watching chicks shaking their asses, so I don't know.
I'm actually able to catch. So when you're a middle-aged man, social media will tempt you all the time with videos of beautiful women.
Beautiful women and ED medication.
Oh, yeah.
If you're over 40,
it's boner
that's
pills.
That's your feed, bro.
It's boner pills and cleavage 24/7,
that's
right?
That's it. That's all it is.
And so you're starting to see a lot of Facebook and Instagram and TikTok accounts that every single photo is AI created.
Oh, I can see the AI. I can still tell if it's AI.
And like what it is they probably took a genuine photo of somebody off the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Or several photos and just said, like they probably went and said, I want to create a social media profile for this person, give them this personality, give me 365 different pictures and different scenes and captions and build me a year's worth of content to post. And you can do that on ChatGPT.
Oh, I know.
And like, did you hear about the guy that
I use chat for fucking everything.
Did you hear about the guy who started a fake OnlyFans account using nothing but AI photos and he made $30,000 in a month?
What am I doing wasting my fucking time over here?
Right.
Like, right. What?
So, in other words, the internet is still the Wild West and
you have to vet animation.
All of your information that you're getting out in the open forum. You get into some closed groups, you can start to zero in on some of that communication, but it's still one of those things of like trust but verify, stay vigilant, and only take advice from people that you're willing to trade your life with. Right?
Wow.
Trade places with.
What I was going to say earlier was, do you think that the government is keeping education poor on purpose? Too,
1,000%.
So that it makes it easier to keep people fucking pigeonholed?
Yeah.
I just had that light bulb go off. Like education, we spend more money on education than maybe any other. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's a lot, okay?
Yeah.
And we're getting worse.
I saw a graph.
Why?
I saw a graph the other day that was like the top 20 sectors that people spend money on over the last 20 years. And here is what's happened to their price. And so the longer the graph went from left to right was time. The graph neutral was in the middle of the graph. And some of these items got cheaper over time. Mm. And some of these items got more expensive over time.
Okay.
The items that got the cheapest, TVs and cell phones. Relative to time, TVs and cell phones are cheaper now than they were 20 years ago.
Easier to manipulate people when you control what they look at.
We definitely don't want them to get rid of the thing that we control them with, right?
Yeah.
We can't get rid of the TV and the phone because that's what we use to fear and control, right? The top two or three things that have gotten astronomical in price, healthcare, secondary education. And we're talking skyrocketed.
The only thing
food stable.
Secondary education is weird though, because I think they're indoctrinating people in college. So you would think they would want that cheaper. You know what I mean?
No, it's government. It's the one loan in the government that's unforgivable by bankruptcy. Why would they want that cheaper?
Oh, so you're telling me they want people indoctrinated but make money at the same time?
They want your student loan and indoctrination.
That's double devil, man. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Before we get into what we're actually talking about, some social media type stuff today, but before we get into that,
a quick word from our sponsors.
Yeah, let's do a quick word from Field Pulse. So, Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features for your CRM, your estimates and your invoices, your scheduling and dispatching, your good, better, best proposals, your maintenance plans, and it will even incorporate the Tradewinds price books. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has a 4.8 rating with over 600 Google reviews. To learn more about Field Pulse, head to the link in the description of this show. And just remember, this show is about kind of the one-man shop. And just remember, if you are a one-man shop and you are looking to get a CRM, and maybe you're currently using some cheap, crappy CRM, maybe you're using QuickBooks Online for your CRM, which is horrendous to do, or maybe you're using, like, if your CRM ends in .io, it's probably not a good CRM. So if you're looking to get into a CRM, Field Pulse will take you on as a one-man shop if you come in through the link in the description of the show. If you come in on their normal channels, they will not take you on as a one-man shop.
Yeah. So. Also, they have some promos run until the end of summer. They are in the description of the show.
Yep.
I looked them up, typed them up, right there next to the link.
They're there. Sweet.
So, what do you want to talk about today, Mitch?
We're going to talk about the one-man show. So, there's a lot of guys that listen to this show that want to be, they're a one-man show, or they want to be a one-man show. And they're navigating, do I want to grow, do I want to stay small, and whatever the case may be. And there's no wrong thing, the wrong way to look at either of that. David, you're proof positive that you can stay a high-performing one-man show and become very successful.
Yeah.
So
it's difficult, but you can do it.
You can do it. And you can't do it forever. You're going to get burned out pretty quick when everything falls on you.
Yeah.
The other way to go about it is to build a team and to grow a team and all this stuff. And the topic of this show isn't really to sway you one way or the other, but it's to make you decide one way or the other. There's a lot of guys that are a one-man show that say they want to grow, but then their actions and behaviors are everything other than growth, right? And so where this kind of popped off is I see questions in Facebook groups a lot where guys are just starting out and they're asking questions, and maybe they think it's noble or whatever the case may be, but like I saw somebody questioning, you know, I'm using this one CRM and they charge $190 a month, and you know, I could get it done. I could use QuickBooks to manage all my invoices and I would save $190 a month.
Dude, it's $190.
And I simply said, like, dude, if you want to grow your business and you want to actually become a legit, stable, healthy business, you're going to need a CRM. Like, yes, QuickBooks can invoice, but so can Stripe. And Stripe's just a credit card processing software.
Yeah.
But Stripe can invoice too, but you wouldn't ever send your customers a Stripe invoice. You want to be able to retain data from your customers, right? And so, and also switching CRMs, how you manage your customer, CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management Software.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a Customer Relationship Management Software. We also have FSMs, Field Service Management Softwares. And so like Field Pulse, for instance, is an FSM and a CRM combined.
It's the same shit.
Most of your stuff is going to be the same way, right?
Yeah.
So your CRM is how you organize your customers as a whole. In other words, how many of my customers are men? QuickBooks ain't going to tell you that. How many of my customers live in this zip code? QuickBooks ain't going to tell you that, right? Yeah. Now, QuickBooks will give you some reports. And they could even give you some reports based off of like task items and task codes.
But
QuickBooks reports are financial based.
It's not the same.
Correct. They're going to give you financially driven reports. They're not going to give you behavioral reports from your customers. A good CRM is only as good as the information you're putting into it. But a good CRM can tell you like, hey, I ran this ad campaign and I want to see how effective it was. So this ad campaign came with a coupon code of -20. And so I want to go run a report for how many times -20 was used as a coupon code. And I want that report to tell me total revenue generated from invoices with -20 on it. A good CRM can do that for you.
Yeah.
A good CRM, you can actually label how the customer got into your ecosystem. Was it word of mouth? Was it a Facebook ad? Was it a Facebook referral?
Yeah.
Was it you signed up for the banner on the outfield fence at the Little League ball field, and that's how they heard about you? And again, all of this is only as good as the information you're giving it. The CRM doesn't automatically know this information, but a good CRM will have a place for you to place that information if you ask the customer that information on your intake.
It's called a lead source.
Yes.
And you can create lead sources.
Yes.
In every CRM.
Yeah. Every CRM is going to be able to do that. QuickBooks can't do that.
No.
Right. And so ultimately what I'm trying to get at here is you can't be two places at the same time. And you can't be one place today with the expectation you're going to be in a different place in the future. So, in other words, it's not fake it until you make it. It's face it until you make it. And so what I mean by that is, in this particular post that I saw online, this guy was worried about the $190 a month his CRM was, quote unquote, costing him. In his mind, his CRM was a $190 burden. When in all actuality, for one, I wish my CRM was only $190 a month. But in all actuality, that $190 should be the best money he's ever spent. Because that $190 contains every piece of information he needs or can contain, every piece of information he needs to quadruple the size of his business. It has all the information in it for exactly who has shopped with him in the past, so therefore, who's most likely to shop with him in the future.
Yeah.
It has with him the location of those homes. So now we can identify like hot targets on a map of we do really well in this neighborhood. We don't do really well in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Maybe we learn why. Maybe the income is too high or too low in the neighborhoods we don't do well in, but the income level is perfect in the neighborhoods we do well in. Maybe it's the age of the homes. Maybe this neighborhood is all rental property and we don't work for rentals. So why would I want my marketing going to that neighborhood? Right? Yeah. Your CRM has all that information for you. Your CRM is also going to display your price book for you and allow you to make sales and all of these things. And so, you can't say I want to be a big, stable, healthy business, even if it's a big, stable, healthy business of one. You can't say I want to be big, stable, and healthy when you're tripping over what you consider to be a $190 burden. You got to be able to recognize that $190 is probably the best $190 a month you're spending.
Yeah, one thing you touched on that's kind of hidden in there is, and I think this is where you're going with it, is if you're stuck in the, I'm going to just do what I can do, and if it happens and I grow big, I'll grow big.
Right.
Okay, without intentionality, mm-hmm. Right? And that mindset of I'm trying to pinch every penny so that I can build my bank account, right, that's the one-man show mindset.
Yeah.
You will never just automatically go from that to having four employees if the work shows up.
Well,
those are the same guys that when the work shows up, they say, I'm too busy.
Yes.
I don't want to hire.
Yeah.
And
they
the
view
same,
employees like a burden instead of an asset.
Those are the same guys that if they do get busy and they hire one or they hire two, still won't get a CRM to help them stay organized.
Right.
And then those guys go by the wayside and down the road because they don't want to work for a fucking hack.
Right.
Those are the same guys. You have to be intentional with, am I going to be a big business and have three, four, five guys? Or am I going to stay the one-man show and go with it?
Right.
That guy's mindset was, I'm going to stay the one-man show and go with it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, do you need the CRM? No, you don't. Because you can be busy, balls to the wall, by yourself, with no CRM, no marketing, a van with no lettering on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do that.
Yeah.
But don't pretend like you can do that and then 6 months from now, hire three guys and move to the next level.
Right.
It doesn't fucking happen that way.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. The guys who grow, there's this misnomer about growing a company. They think, oh, he got lucky. No, he didn't get lucky. He was pursuing everything that looked like an opportunity. And yeah. 90% of what he pursued turned out to be nothing. But because he was turning every stone, and because he was looking around every corner, he found opportunities and ways to grow.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's a lot of really lazy people out there in the world that think growth and success is lucked into. And they think that somebody just comes knocking on your door one day and says, hey, you wanna partner with me in this big growing business? I've already got it growing and everything, and you really don't need to do anything, but you can partner with me and you can add no value.
Yeah.
But you're just gonna luck into this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Ed McMahon with the Publisher's Clearinghouse showing up with a big cardboard check and balloons. Like,
is that still
you
a thing?
Work for it.
Yeah, people think, to your point, you know, they think they're, you know, someone's gonna come in and be like, hey, I'm gonna give you $100,000. I only want 25% of your business. You run it exactly how you want, and we're going to be successful.
Yeah.
What the fuck kind of pipe dream is that?
Right.
That
right.
shit does not happen.
Yeah.
People work their hands to the bone for years
yeah.
sometimes
yeah.
before they see real success. Or I shouldn't say before they see real success, before people on the outside see them as successful.
So there's a joke that says, how do you starve somebody on welfare? You hide their check under their work boot.
Dude,
right?
That's gangster as fuck.
But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have the mindset that it's like a welfare type nation.
Yeah.
And they think things are just going to show up. No. It's like work, opportunities bro. Hiding under the work boot.
You got to work.
You got to put the boot on, right? I was telling a TradeWinds member this morning. I don't know if you were on the part that part of the call or not, but
I skip a lot. I don't know.
I got to
that's a joke.
I got to a point where I was trying to train my crew where I had to tell myself I'm not even putting work boots on when I go to this job site because this is a fault. When I say I have the ability, this is not a good thing. I had this ability to find ways where I'm needed and find ways where I didn't think the team was sufficient. And so I would just jump in and work with my own hands to get the job done. And so
self-esteem issue?
Maybe.
I'm not saying that in a bad way.
No,
like, that's what I always tried to do is prove myself.
It was probably more of a pride thing than anything else of a lack of trust in the team.
I want to lead these guys by example, and I want them to see me as a good example.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And therefore, it's a lack of trust in the team.
Yeah.
Right? I don't trust the team to do this properly, so I'm just going to do it, and yet again, I'm going to show the team how to do it.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, for 3 fucking years, I'm showing the team how to do it.
Yeah.
And they realize that if Mitch comes on the job, I won't even have to do it because Mitch is just going
to
do it.
That's the best way to hold your team back.
Yeah.
And hold your business growth back.
Right, right.
By having to do everything.
And so I came to a conclusion that this was my fault. And so I went to this one job where the team requested my help. And the team already knows that if they request my help, I'm probably just going to come out there and just do it. And so I go to this job and I'm like, I'm not even putting my work boots on and I'm not taking my hands out of my pockets. And I'm going to use those two things as reasons to where I can't get in the mud and I can't even grab a tool or anything because, like, I'm going to get this job done through the team and through the team's hands, not me.
Do you think that like, before they called you, they were like, hey, look, guys, this is going to suck. If we call Mitch.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure handicapping him in that area.
No, I'm saying, do you think they sat around and they were like, probably. You know, if we call him, dude, he'll come out and he'll at least run the excavator.
Yeah.
And it'll kill all our burden by 10%.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
I bring that up because it's not a realization for you or I, but if you do that in your business now, we have guys in TradeWinds that do that.
Yeah.
You know, they will run themselves to death and they don't have to.
Yeah.
They have the crew. They have good guys that know what they're fucking doing.
Yeah.
And they can completely be on their own and they're like, no, I had to go out and I had to do this job and I missed my call or this or that or whatever. We're like, dude, really?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
You have to, like you did, though, they have to come to that realization on their own. You could tell them until you're blue in the face.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. But until they realize, okay, I'm the hindrance here. I'm the bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one choking this kid to death.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much else you could do.
Right. And so, you know, on that job, we got it done. I didn't touch a tool. I couldn't even get close enough to the hole to get muddy. And so
just walking around talking to
just walking around
moms
talking
in the neighborhood.
No, walking around talking to my crew, but we got the job done.
Yeah,
and I got back in my truck after I left, and I'm like, holy cow,
they did it.
They're like
I'm a jackass. They can do it.
Yeah, and it's not like they're smarter than I thought they were because I knew they were smart enough to do it. It was a control, like a relinquishing of the control or a passing of the torch for me.
It was a thing that you didn't know you were as dumb as you thought. Like, let's be honest. Sometimes we will pull the wool over our own eyes feel satisfied or vindicated. You know what I mean? And it's our own ignorance.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up in that way.
You know what I mean?
We think we're being smart by constantly displaying our aptitude.
Yeah.
But we're actually showing 100%. Our lack of intelligence because we're showing the fact that I'm not smart enough to talk somebody else through this process. Right.
Yeah.
Leaders create other leaders.
Yeah.
Bad leaders create a position to try to preserve their position.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
and I'm not being hard on you, but that's just the,
like, in the leadership area, I was dumb. In the hands-on task of getting shit done, I was smart. But the problem is, if to get shit done, it all has to funnel through you, then you're going to cap your ability. So another post of this that came up that made me want to do this for a show topic was, there was another post online asking, what's harder to get to for all you blue collar people out there? What's harder to get to, your first million or your first five?
Oh, first five. Easy.
And I said, first five is absolutely harder than your first one. Anybody out there can, I'm going to use words that I hate using, but they're pointed properly here. Anybody out there can hustle and grind and work their dick to the bone and get to $1 million a year in revenue.
Easy.
Okay?
Easy.
You can sell $1 million a year in revenue. You can find ways to get that done. But to do $5 million a year in revenue, there's no way one person is going to be able to do that. The only way you're going to do $5 million a year in revenue is through a team of people, which means you are bestowing upon that team of people duties and standards at which those duties are performed. You're bestowing trust. You've got to train them. You've got to communicate with them. You have to have a good relationship with them.
Yeah.
And so, so that is why, like, you can control you, but you can't control other people. You can influence other people, but you can't control other people ethically. And so that is why getting to 5 million is 20 times harder than getting to 1 million. Because at 1 million, it's all about you.
Yeah.
But at 5 million, it's all about how, ironically.
I know. Yeah. That was good. So, my bet.
At 5 million, it's all about how well you influence other people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, you can hold on to guys and you can hold them back. The way I like to look at it, let me start that statement over. A one-man show can do everything. A guy with three employees can do 90% of everything it takes to be successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you got to get to that fourth guy, that fifth guy, that sixth guy, to break through, like you and I like to call it, the $1.5 million, the $2 million, to get to that next plateau, to get to the five.
Yep.
That's when you really have to start relinquishing control.
Yeah.
You are the bottleneck if you can't get past that plateau.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as going from one-man show to three employees to five employees. You can control everything, one-man show. You can control everything to $1 million, $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, you're the hindrance.
Yep.
You went from the facilitator to the bottleneck.
To the enabler.
To the enabler in that window.
Yep.
And guys, I think guys have a big problem with it because they literally saw, I can do this, and their own head got bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this, and they got two employees. I can do this, and they got three employees. It, like, they have to battle the fact that they got it to 3 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subconscious, I've done all of this.
Yeah.
And you're telling me right now, you're looking me in the eye and saying, I can't get us to the next level, and guys can't get past it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You can't do it.
One of the things with
Spencer's got to do it.
Evolution, you know, of business is what got you here won't get you there. Okay? So, in other words, what got you to be a high-ranking employee won't get you to be a successful one-man show. What got you to be a successful one-man show won't get you to be a successful five-man operation.
Yeah.
What got you to be a successful five-man operation won't get you to be a 50-man operation.
Yeah.
And so we have to realize that there's a lot of cliche sayings like, you know, there's levels to this game. Well, there are. And those level, like level one is become a high-ranking employee, become a high-value employee. But as you're doing that, recognize level two as a successful one-man show. So I'm working my way through becoming a high-ranking employee, I'm also focusing on the type of character I'm going to need to be a successful one-man show. And then as you become a successful one-man show, you're basically, the things that you're working on in your head are not for the level that you're currently on. They're for the next level. And if you get stuck in the trap where you're constantly trying to develop your own skill sets and your own abilities to flourish at the level you're currently on, you're never going to succeed the level that you're currently on. Okay?
Yeah.
And so
you'll master that level, but that's the top.
Right. Right.
That's it.
You've got to, again, fake it till you make it or face it till you make it, whatever you want to call it. You've got to put yourself in that next level of business. And how would that guy solve this problem? I'm going to solve it this way right now because I'm at this level. But when this problem presents itself in the next level, does it change? Can I prevent this problem from showing up in the next level? And if so, how would I do that? Right? So problem prevention and solution is a whole nother game that you get to learn as you start building a team of people, right? Yeah. Business ownership is great, except for the people. And people be people in every day,
man.
Right?
Oh.
And I'm not saying that like I'm knocking on my people or any of people I've ever employed. I'm saying people in general. Yeah. We're emotional creatures. We have good sides. We have bad sides. There's no such thing as work problems. There's only home problems brought to work, right? There's only personal problems brought to work.
Yeah.
If you have somebody that's greatly insecure with themselves, you're going to find out that they're a horrible leader. You're going to find out that they are not the greatest of employees. They're probably a good salesperson, though, right?
Yeah, those of us with emotional damaged issues are great salesmen.
Yeah.
I say we, as in me.
Right. But I'm hanging up on the people for a minute because you're only going to grow a bigger business through people. And so it's never too early to start working on your people skills, right? We work on our kids' people skills all the time.
Yeah.
And letting them, you know, giving our kids opportunities to like, hey, read the room. Hey, did you see how everyone kind of turned off whenever you said it this way? Maybe say it differently in the future and all this stuff.
Yeah.
When you came into my house today, I was talking with one of the new owners of the plumbing company about an employee issue. And we were literally talking about, okay, we already know the solution, but how do we present it in a way that betters our people?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to be constantly looking to affect and alter and influence people's lives without controlling them. It's like the movie Bruce Almighty. Bruce Almighty gives him...
Oh, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey and what's the black guy?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
So, one of the greatest actors of all time,
yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
And
that slut, Jennifer What's-Her-Face, is in that.
Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, Aniston.
Don't call my girlfriend a slut. She's on my list.
Okay, tough guy.
Although
now, no kids, no successful marriages, you know.
It's a possibility.
I mean, I'm just saying.
It's there.
You're getting close. How about this? You're getting closer.
I know.
You're getting closer.
Yeah. Now I just need to find a way to get out to Hollywood.
It's just a plane ride, dude.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
But anyway, so in that movie, he talks about like you can impact all these things, but you can't impact free will.
Yeah.
It's very much like leadership.
Yeah.
You can impact all these things, but you can't impact a person's personality.
Yeah. You can give them the tools.
Yeah.
But you can't make them use them.
Yeah. And so one of the things that you want to, like, if this is a new concept for you and you're newly into learning how to influence people, this kind of ties it into our last show. Our last show was talking about always assuming positive intent, and that's going to lead to a better conversation and a better outcome. You can do that with your people. Assume positive intent. In other words, when your people make a mistake, assume they had the best interest at heart. Don't just assume they were intentionally sabotaging you. And approach it from that angle, and your people are going to be a lot more receptive to whatever coaching or criticism or whatever you may have to talk to them about. They're going to be a lot more receptive to it when you assume positive intent.
Yeah.
And so what I mean by that is like, you know, let's say your guy royally screws something up. Let's say he smokes a control board in an HVAC unit. Okay? You don't go in there and be like, you dipshit, what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah.
But what you do instead is like, hey, I guess I thought you knew how to diagnose those. Did you have your meter on the wrong setting? Did you touch the wrong things?
That's like, pretty passive aggressive. But yeah.
But no, not necessarily, because what you're doing is you're creating a condition where they know you're not angry. Okay.
Yeah.
And we've all, anybody who's ever diagnosed more than probably 20 or 30 control boards has let the smoke out of one.
And oh, so shit. I don't even know what I'm up to now.
Right.
And I know what the fuck I'm doing.
And so, you know, you and I would be at the level where we could give each other shit for smoking a control board.
Oh, yeah. I'd come right over there and be like, you dumb fuck. What are you doing?
Right. But let's say it's a newer guy and you're like, the ability to fail as a team member, if you give your team members enough rope to hang themselves, you're a good leader.
Yeah.
Because that's how you learned. You learned by letting the smoke out of a couple control boards before you figured out how to not do it.
Yeah.
And so, like, let your guy know, like, hey, it's just a control board. We can replace it. But, again, I thought you knew how to do this. If not, let me know, and we'll fix it.
Yeah. I like the question method. Like, you walk up to the – just to use your example, you walk up to him, and you go – you just look him in the eye, and you go, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
And you let them explain to you how we got to where we got to.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that's what happened, isn't it? And they will look at you and go, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You jumpered that and you shouldn't, you know what I mean? And they will work through the problem they created and they'll understand it 2x. I try to do it in Tradewinds a lot too.
Yeah.
Like when something crazy is going on, you know, I will ask them, I'll be like, well, what did he say about this?
Yeah.
If it's an employee, for example, what did they do about this? When you walked up to the car they wrecked, what did you say?
Yeah.
And they will almost always come to the realization when you ask people genuine questions and you and you can convey to them your genuine concern of as it comes to pertaining the understanding of what has happened, right? You will always get it, almost always get an honest answer.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yep.
Because they don't want to lie. People, it's weird to me. People will lie out their ass, but not lie straight to your face when you convey concern about what happened. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I always like to go about it that way. Hey, why did this happen? Where did we start?
Yep.
They will come to the conclusion. You don't even have to train them. You don't have to teach them. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be there for them and let them know that you understand how it got fucked up.
You want to hear something wild? So...
I always want to hear something wild, Mitchell.
So yesterday, I was at this charity lake event.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was working all day.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. this lake event is basically, it's a group of wake boat owners that get together. It's all spearheaded by a guy in a charity called Wake the World. But they get wake boat owners together and they partner with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. And
which is one of the greatest organizations in Kansas City.
Really cool.
Charity wise.
Yeah. They brought out 75 kids and probably 20 chaperones. And they distributed these kids, 4 to 5 kids per boat plus a chaperone. And in each boat had a captain and a co-captain, and they mandate that it has to be wakeboard boats. Wakeboards are inboard boats, and inboards are safer to swim around than outboards or inboard outboards because of the prop clearance and everything else.
And kids don't know to stay away from it, and they're
right.
You know, it keeps an accident from happening if someone's got the boat and gear.
Yeah,
obvious.
And so like all these safeguards are in place, but you got these kids from the inner city coming out. And some of these kids, this is the second time I've done this event. The first time I did it, we had 2 people on our boat that didn't know how to swim. This time, we had everybody on our boat would get in the water, but one of them was very, very anxious. And if he was near the boat, he was fine. But as soon as in this threshold changed based off of his mood, but as soon as he got farther away from the boat than he was comfortable with,
panic set in.
Panic. And like, I'm not talking irrational panic. Like, you can look in the kid's eyes and he's not just being
like, you can feel his pain.
You can feel his
You're
pain.
Like, dude, this kid is freaking out.
And what's funny is he was probably the most hard ass looking kid of all of them. Like, he had this epic set of dreads that was
nice.
I mean, like Rastafarian style. They look cool.
I love it.
They look cool. But
didn't you just get a bunch of flack for not having kids of color on your boat like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
People are so stupid.
So dumb about that. I made a whole video about that because it pissed me off so much.
People are dumb, dude.
But last night, so we had 5 kids on our boat. These kids were freaking awesome, okay? And basically, you take them out and you surf and you wakeboard and you tube and you swim and just do whatever you want to do. And
whatever
have
they
want to
do and have fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you come in for lunch and then you go back out again. And then when you go back out again, you do a little bit more. And then it all ends with all the boats tying up together and all the kids swimming behind all the boats. And so we get to the tide, like, it's a long day. The sun's out. It's 90 degrees.
Dude,
there's no shade.
It's a long day on a boat.
It's
like
a long day, right? And these kids are doing something they're rarely doing before, so they're excited and their energy's
they're
spent.
They're smoked.
And so we get to the tie-up point where now there's, like, some realm of comfort because now they're back to their group of 75 friends. Maybe their friends weren't on your boat, right?
Yeah.
And they're so excited to just go jump off into this more shallow water and talk with their friends and everything else. And so there's a kid on our boat that he was bound and determined to figure out wakeboarding. He's never done anything like this before. And he fell countless times.
Hard to.
Countless times. Countless times. And he wears glasses. And his glasses are thick.
Yeah.
But he made sure to take his glasses off every time he got in the water. And he'd hand them to me. And he would look me in the eye. And he'd say, I can't lose these. And it's like, I got it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would keep his glasses on me or
away in your lockbox.
In my area while he was in the water. And he tried and tried and tried. And finally, he gets up on a wakeboard. And he has about a 15-second ride on a wakeboard, and he is on cloud nine.
Nice.
And then he eats shit like you do on a wakeboard. But
face
he was
first.
Totally
shit
face planted.
Oh.
And he, but he is tough. Excited, right? He can't wait to go home and tell his parents.
Let's do it again.
And we needed to wrap up and go to this tie up, and he's like, cool. So we get to the tie up, and I'm busy tying up our boat to the other boats, and all the kids, like, once we get close, you know, all the kids jump off the back, and we're tying up lines and making sure bumpers are in place and everything else. And I've been on the back of the boat in the sun the whole time.
Smithville, right?
Yeah, Smithville.
Okay. I'm trying to picture it in my head.
Yep. I'm retreating to the shade. I'm not getting in the water because I'm lobstered up. And I've been sitting on the back of the boat trying to teach these kids how to
Mace
was driving.
Oh, I gotcha.
And so he was in the shade the whole time. He goes straight in the water, too.
Yeah.
Of course, he's friends with all these other boat captains, so he's hanging out with them. So halfway through the tie-up, this kid, this wakeboard kid, cool as hell kid, comes to me and he goes, hey, I'm disappointed in myself.
I lost my glasses.
Lost his glasses.
Oh, fuck.
And you could see the look on his eyes. And he's like, I don't know what I'm going to tell my parents. And he's like terrified. And I'm like, dude, just tell them the truth. And he's like, I don't know if that's going to be good enough. And I'm like, dude, if the truth ain't good enough,
yeah,
then we got nothing else to live for.
He lost him swimming.
He lost him swimming. He got so excited to see his friends, he jumped off the back of the boat.
God damn.
And lost him swimming.
Damn.
And
dude, what could the glass be? $100?
It's 18, 20 feet deep. Like, it's too deep to find them. You know, you're not going to go find them.
Yeah. Let's buy the kid some glasses, dude.
I said, just tell your parents the real thing. Tell them the day you had. Tell them the victory you had on the wakeboard.
Yeah.
Tell them that you were so, by the end of the day, you had had such a fun day and you were so excited that you jumped in the water. You just let it slip.
Yeah.
And all this. And he's like, I just don't know. Like, he wasn't saying his parents are bad parents. You could tell.
He didn't want to disappoint them that he lost the
glasses.
He
didn't want to disappoint them. And you could tell.
That's regular kid fear. That's like all kids go through that.
Yeah. And you could tell that, like, the truth shall set you free. Absolutely. Always. Right. But you could tell that he felt like he was going to have to come up with some kind of story to justify losing the glasses. And the truth wasn't good enough. And I said, tell you what, man, I'm going to give you my phone number. If your parents have any questions at all, they can call.
Oh, I got you.
Like if they think you're lying.
Dude, I'm not giving out my phone number.
Or whatever.
You're a better person than me.
I gave my phone number, and I'm like, if your parents have any questions at all, they can call me.
Yeah.
And they can reach out to me, and you know, the goal wasn't that they call me and I end up buying the kid glasses.
No,
which
it was just
I totally
to verify
would.
His story.
It was just, if your parents are questioning it, like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to start the conversation. Well, your kid's a freaking badass, by the way. He went from not even hardly knowing how to swim to getting up on this wakeboard, which ain't easy. Getting up on a wakeboard is one of the harder sports to get up
dude,
on.
Dude, your legs got to be...
Yeah. I think probably the only thing harder than getting up on a wakeboard is probably getting up on a slalom ski.
Slalom ski's tough.
Yeah. But a wakeboard's hard because you get up sideways and then you have to turn forward. And if you do it wrong, you get shit whipped. And
dude,
it's just
you dip that edge and you're fucked.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that.
I have not gotten a phone call yet, and I don't think I will, but the whole idea of me giving him my phone number was more or less to empower him to be like, give him an opportunity to be like, hey, tell the truth.
right? Yeah. And it's just like your story with the control board. You like to lead with, tell me what happened.
Yeah.
In other words, tell me the truth. You don't need to come up with an elaborate story. Like, I just need to know what happened.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I was trying to get with that kid was like, you don't need to tell me this elaborate story. Just tell your parents, or you don't need to tell your parents an elaborate story.
Just tell them the truth.
Just tell them the truth.
Yeah. I will say this. It is also a very immediate way to know if your employees are stand-up individuals or not.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's be honest. I know when I walk up there and I look and I go, oh, I know what he did. Or I know what happened, mm-hmm. you know? If they tell you the truth immediately,
mm-hmm.
they're a stand-up employee.
Yeah.
If they lie to cover one time, okay. They do it every time, two or three times mistakes happen, and they're liars. You know that employee is a liar.
Yeah. Yeah, your employees need to feel comfortable telling the truth, even though it may hurt.
Yeah. Like, but then you
the
know...
The truth is how we learn, and the truth is how we know what we need to train on.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
And if employees are lying to you about that, something so simple and so stupid that happens in an industry, regardless of what the industry is, right... They'll lie about everything.
Yeah.
So like that, like I don't like putting up walls, like when it comes to employees or how to handle people.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when they show you the wall, now you're looking out for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it will put you in tune to their behaviors moving forward.
Yep.
You know, if that shit starts leaking off into an area, you'll immediately know, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna eventually have to get rid of this guy.
Right.
You know, when we talk about, you know, hire fast, fire fast, or always be looking to upgrade your team, mm-hmm. always be ranking your team. That's a really good way to rank your team.
Yeah.
I know he's a liar. She's a liar.
Yeah.
I'm not getting rid of them because they're a good employee. They deserve a job.
Yeah.
You know, but when I have to upgrade my team, they're lower on the ladder because
yeah.
I have verified that that person isn't always telling me the truth.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And so when the chance to upgrade comes, you upgrade.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, so for those guys that are looking out for hiring your first employee, you know, for those guys that are starting your one-man show and you want to have employees, start thinking of like, okay, I can handle this problem this way because I'm a one-man show, but when I have employees, I got to handle it this way. And then when you have your one employee, well, I can handle it this way with one employee, but when I have multiple employees, I'm going to have to handle it this way. Always be thinking like a dual solution to the problem. How you're going to solve the problem today, but then how you're going to prevent or solve this problem in the future when you're bigger. And if you do that, the growth comes a lot faster and a lot easier because it ain't your first rodeo. You've actually already solved this problem before at this size in your company. You just did it on a mock trial basis before. So just words to think about as you guys are starting out in your ventures or starting to hire your first employees. So hopefully the show brought you value and made you think of things in a different light. As always, we welcome your questions that you have, so feel free to ask us any questions. Our emails are in the description of the show. You can find us on social media and ask any questions that you have there. And I did make a post on the Void's Facebook page here recently about some other show topics and everything else. But those questions, more or less, are probably more Tradewinds-based. They're for more existing business owners. There was some stuff about balance sheet and cash flow statements and stuff like that, some higher level stuff. So we may keep that off the podcast and we may do some videos for that on Tradewinds. So,
yeah, and we don't say it a lot either. If you just want to know about Tradewinds and ask some questions,
yeah,
dude, you can email us here.
Yeah.
You can message us. Message Mitch on Facebook. He loves it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Fill out the contact form. Look, on Tradewinds, there is a contact form.
Yeah.
I know people are adverse to those because they're like, oh, they're going to try and call me and pitch
me
something.
We don't spam you either.
We don't spam and we don't pitch bullshit.
Yeah.
We just call you and say, hey, what were the questions you wanted to know?
We're not going to get you into our click funnel.
Yeah.
We don't have a click funnel.
We don't call you and ask you questions. We call you and say, hey, what do we want to talk about?
Yeah.
Did you have some questions?
Exactly.
Are you interested? No? Okay. See you, man.
Right.
If you ever need anything, fucking call us.
Yeah.
People, you got this. You were, was it this morning you were telling me about this? One of our recent members was like, hey, I just really appreciate that you're, you know, what you say on the podcast is real.
Yeah.
And when I talk to you, you're the same person.
Yeah.
And you're real. It's not a salesman bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Dude, it's 100% the truth.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck. You want the information? You want to know about it? We'll give it to you.
Yeah.
If you don't, we can't help you.
Yeah.
If you just want to see if Mitch is a real person and not an AI guy with braces, well, yeah, he is. He's a regular person.
If I'm real AI fucked up giving me braces, that's just mean. So
no, we're just real. We're just fucking regular guys, man.
Yeah. I'm going to end on a funny story.
Okay. Funny story and wrap us up.
While we were at this little tie up yesterday and I was retreating to the shade and all the kids were swimming, I was talking with the guy that owned and captained the boat next to mine. Old guy, mid-70s.
Oh, okay? Shit. Good for him.
Used to be a school administrator for the schools in our district. Okay.
Blue Springs?
Yeah. And he's old guy now, and I didn't catch his name.
Mitch, I was going to say that was 25, 6, 7 years ago.
So, well, when we were there.
He would have been a young guy then.
Oh, yeah.
In his 40s.
Yeah.
Like we are now.
And so he gets to talking about, like, somehow we get on the subject of kids these days are totally different than they were in the past and all this stuff. And I know the conversation started with, like, I was bragging about how awesome our group of kids was on our boat, and they were very respectful and all this. And he was talking about how respectful the kids were on his boat. And we were talking about, like, you never know what you're going to get. And it's just a pleasant change of pace because kids these days are just wild. And he's talking about how he used to be a school administrator. And he's like, I don't know how these principals do it today. These kids want to cut their wieners off. And then he's like, some of these kids swear they're a cat. And these principals got to put litter boxes in the bathrooms.
Dude, why do you think my kid's going to private school in 2 years?
I'm like, oh my God, this old man has no filter. And it's awesome.
Dude, so. I will say this. My filter's getting really thin. Like, we've gone from a HEPA 12. We're down to like a four right now.
We're a waterlogged one-ply TP.
I'm not. Yeah. It's like it goes from 4 to 1. Now we're 2-ply and then single.
A finger's breaking that through
dude,
any minute.
That dude's is evaporated and gone.
Yeah. It was so funny.
Everyone
always says, these kids want to cut their wieners off.
I don't want to drag this show on. But it just, like, if people are like, oh, I'm afraid to get older. I'm like, dude, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have money.
You can say whatever you want.
I can say whatever the fuck I want. They'll just be like, look at this crazy old bastard.
Yeah.
Even though I'm probably going to be smarter than they are, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait.
Yep.
So. Oh, wrap us up, man.
All right, yeah, that's it. We will see you guys next week, and I hope you enjoyed episode 250.
See you.